is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We are back with a lineup announcement. Ribs put this on my blog. Oilers tweet lineup. It's Pajärvi with Horkoff and Eberle. Ryan Jones with Gagné and Omark. And I believe Giroux is 12. We called up from the AHL today. He'll be playing with Liam Radix and Andrew Cagliano. And then the fourth line will be Jacques with Fraser and McIntyre. And that's as of, maybe 15 minutes ago or so. So that's the lineup looking forward to tonight. This is Nation Radio on Team 1260. And we're joined by J.P. Hornstra from the Los Angeles Daily News. Hi, J.P.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. I was watching the first game with Penner in the lineup. That's a lot of meat and lumber going down the ice, those three.
Yeah, it certainly is. The Kings have decided to go big, and they've decided to go big quickly. I mean, if you think about the last two guys that they had in that spot, Marco Sturm, kind of a smaller, quicker guy, at least when he's healthy, and Brad Richardson, again, another smaller, quicker guy when he's healthy. But with Penner, they've pretty much conceded that we're going to win games by grinding out, cycling the puck, not even going to try to out-skate teams here. We're just going to try to out-muscle them around the net.
Kopitar is such a gifted hockey player. They've had a hard time finding a fit for him, haven't they?
Oh, a very hard time. Terry Murray said about a month ago that it's the hardest thing that he's had to do when filling out the lineup as a coach since he got here. It's consistently been a challenge for him, and they just haven't found a good fit, and they've brought in several people to try to be that fit, so they kind of need Penner to work here if you think about the fact that this team has expectations of getting past the first round this year. They need Penner to work.
JP, I know it's early, but what's the fan reaction to the trade been?
Oh, they've been excited. It is a little bit early, and I think there's a little bit of, you know, what can you do for me now that you're here, but it generated some excitement. I mean, there was a lot of pressure from the fans on Dean Lombardi to make a move, and he made a move, arguably the biggest one on trade deadline day. And you know, certainly the excitement value is there. Obviously, like you said, now they want to see Penner get the results.
I read an article that you wrote where Lombardi said that it was more of a reward to the players, but I know a lot of people, as you just mentioned, the feet were through the fire for Lombardi. Is it a case of both being true, or is it more pressure than the other?
Well, you know, there was some pretty serious ups and downs this season. I mean, the Kings had a very, very poor month of January. They also had another poor stretch at the end of November where it looked like they might not make the playoffs, and there were some serious questions there. So they really had to turn it around. They turned it around with a great road trip. They went out away from home for 10 straight games, and I think won 8 of them. And that was sort of a turning point. So I think that was kind of a turning point, not just in the fans' mind, but in Lombardi's mind, that he should go out and get somebody.
The Kings, compared to the other teams in the Western Conference, have I'm not going to say a very easy schedule, but a fairly easy schedule. Is there a number they're trying to reach in terms of reaching the top eight? Do they want to get to fourth or fifth, or is it just a matter of getting in the playoffs?
I think it's just a matter of getting in the playoffs. And to be honest with you, if there were a number at the beginning of the season, they would have had to throw it out because it's so hard to predict. When we say a number, I'm talking about a number of points here. It might take 100 points to get in. It's the one thing that every coach can be guaranteed to ask if he's coaching a Western Conference team is, can you believe the standings right now? I think any team would be happy to get in if you're not, at this point, Vancouver, Detroit, or San Jose.
On trade deadline day, Pierre LeBrun tweeted that the Kings never spoke to Dallas but did kick the tires on David Booth before finally settling on Dustin Penner. Did you hear that as well?
I kind of reached around to a couple people to try to find out about that, how serious the interest was. And kicking the tires might be pretty appropriate. I don't know if they necessarily even got past that stage. So there might have been some interest, but probably not as much as there was in Penner. And I think Alashemsky was right behind Penner.
Early in the week, and actually the week before the trade deadline, and then up until maybe Saturday or so, we were hearing Hemsky as a strong possibility. And then there was a drop-dead prospect, and that was Shen, that the Oilers would not accept a trade for. They were going hard for Hemsky, though, and the breaking point was Shen. Is that correct?
I'm 99% certain that's correct. I mean, you kind of have to put two and two together in that case. Basically, you know, Tambellini said that he was never bowled over for Hamsky, and Lombardi said he was never bowled over for Shen. He said he was never going to get rid of Shen. In fact, I was hearing that they were after Hamsky as late as Sunday, but Lombardi said later that it was about Sunday night that he realized that he was not going to be able to pry Al Shamsky away from Edmonton.
Is there a sense, and I know you do some stuff with the Ducks too, so maybe you can use the background when they went to the finals and won it. Is there a sense that this is the LA Kings year or could be their year?
The latter. I would say there's a sense that it could be their year. Like I said, there were those couple dry spells that sort of put doubt into the team's mind, or rather into the fans' mind, that, you know, it's a pretty fragile situation out west. On the one hand, there are so many teams in the race, and the Kings are kind of in the middle of it. It's going to take a strong push to the finish here to really, I think, start convincing people again that this is the year. Before the season, it was seen as a possibility, and now that they're starting to make their way up, their climb toward the top, I think they're going to have to push San Jose for that number one spot in the Pacific Division first before maybe the fan base is completely sold that this is the biggest opening in the cup window, so to speak.
This is Nation Radio and Edmonton Sports Radio Team 1260. Alan Mitchell along with J.P. Hornstra from the Los Angeles Daily News. Was Colton Tubert highly regarded in the L.A. organization? I know they've got a ton of good defensemen. Was he a guy they – I know they drafted him highly, but had he fallen down the depth chart?
Yeah, I think that would be fair to say. I remember when Tubert got here, the talk was that they were comparing him to a possible Chris Pronger. Well, when he was traded a week ago, Dean Lombardi said that he projected to be more like a Matt Green. Mm-hmm. Now, Matt Green is a perfectly fine NHL defenseman. You guys have seen him up there in Edmonton, but he's no Chris Pronger. Now, I don't know if that expectation was fair for Tubert to begin with. I've seen him play quite often in training camp a couple years ago and then again in the ECHL when he got called up. And I don't see him projecting as an offensive player in the NHL, quite simply. So, you know, the Edmonton Oilers got a good prospect, don't get me wrong, but he's probably going to be more of a second or third pair defenseman if and when he reaches the NHL.
I've read the Matt Green comparison a lot, but the size of Green is a big man. He's thicker. Is a Jason Smith, I don't know if you remember Jason Smith, but he was an Oiler for years and played in Ottawa as well and Philadelphia. He was a tall guy, but a little bit thinner than a Matt Green type. Is that a better comparison, or is Tubert thick as well?
Tubert is not thick right now. He's strong, but he's not Matt Green strong. As you get older, you can tend to get bigger and work on that, and I think the sort of subtext to that is that they are hoping that Tubert will get bigger and will get a little bit stronger, put some muscle on his frame. I didn't watch Jason Smith play personally, so I can't speak to that one, but Tubert should probably add some muscle, let's put it that way.
One of the things that we did while we were waiting around for this Alish Hemsky trade that turned into the Dustin Penner trade, we had a good long look at the Los Angeles Kings depth chart and their prospects. And this kid Voinov is a gifted offensive player. Have you seen him? Can he play defensively? And if he can, why isn't he already in the Los Angeles organization or Los Angeles with the Kings?
Well, I think even if he could play defensively at a first-rate NHL level, he would still be kind of stuck because he's the same type of player as Drew Doughty and Jack Johnson. Offensively, he can skate. He can do things with the puck. He can be creative. He can get shots through to the net. He's a top-pair guy. At least that's what he projects to, certainly in the NHL, and that's what he is right now in the AHL. He's one of the best offensive defensemen, if not the best, right now at the moment. I haven't seen him enough to comment on his defensive skills, and even if I could, it would have been in training camp against, you know, who knows, they were throwing him out there against in exhibition games. But I feel sympathy for Voinov. I think if in any other NHL organization, he might have had a cup of coffee by now. But with Drew Doughty and Jack Johnson, with the one and two positions here in Los Angeles, that just hasn't happened for him yet.
Do you think it would have been a deal breaker? Say the Oilers wanted the first round pick and then the conditional pick they also got, but instead of Tubert, they wanted Voinov. Would that have been a deal breaker, or would that have been possible in your opinion?
My opinion is not based on hearing a lot of that, but I would say no, that would not be a deal breaker personally. Again, I think if Dean Lombardi is taking accurate stock of his organizational depth at that position, you know, he's going to try to get Drew Doughty locked up here for this, hopefully, what he hopes will be a long-term contract. He already signed Jack Johnson to an extension earlier this season. If those guys are around, there's not going to be much room for Voinov to play here. So I that shouldn't have been a deal breaker. I think that's probably going to be my most accurate answer.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that because Voinov is a guy that we looked at, you know, closely as fans and we were wondering about. Dean Lombardi does not throw first-round picks around in trade very often. Was it difficult for him to move that pick, in your opinion?
I think it was. I think you have to, again, go back to the statement that he thinks the players earned it, that the players earned the right to for him to go out on a little bit of a limb there with moving that pick. And I think he was hoping to have been there at this point. You know, he talks often about how he didn't really like rebuilding from the standpoint of making his present team, his present NHL roster worse. And that's what he had to do for his first 2 or 3 years here. And I think he was kind of looking forward to the time where he could give up a first-round draft pick. So hopefully from his standpoint, he's going to be comfortable with it here because teams are going to keep asking for those early-round picks if the Kings keep pushing farther and farther in the playoffs.
Yeah, the LA Kings look good this year. They're, in my opinion, they're one of the best Kings teams ever, and I think they have a real shot at it because they are deep and they're strong and they're a talented group. Do you cover the ECHL in California at all?
Yeah, I see quite a bit of ECHL hockey down here. The Kings have their ECHL affiliate playing about an hour east in a suburb of Ontario, and that's where I saw Tubert, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There are two other teams here in California right now. There used to be three other teams in California. The Fresno Falcons folded a couple years ago, but it's a... it's got a presence, let's say that.
Well, Oiler fans follow because the Stockton Thunder have seen a few Oiler prospects go through there. Devin Dubnyk, who's in goal for the Oilers, hopefully tonight, and Liam Reddick played there as well. Have you seen Stockton this year?
I have seen Stockton this year quite a bit, and I remember Dubnyk quite well from a couple seasons ago.
Right.
Stockton has a dual affiliation. They also have San Jose Sharks prospects coming in there. So I would say they're one of the more talented teams, actually, of the California teams in the ECHL.
What about Jordan Benfield? Do you remember him at all? And I know I'm putting you on the spot here. It's not like you can pull a guy out of a roster, but he's played down there for Stockton this year, and he's an Oiler draft pick from a few years ago, and he's played a little bit in the AHL as well. Do you recall any players standing out in Benfield specifically?
Benfield, to me, and again, this isn't going on too much data here, but the couple times that I saw him, he was always involved in the play. He was the guy who had the puck a lot, either on his stick or around him. Definitely stood out to me in the couple times that I saw him, but again, that's against ECHL players, and you never know how a guy with offensive skills in the ECHL might project as he moves up the hockey chain. But obviously, he's moved up, so good for him.
Yeah, and I'm going to be an ECHL fan forever because of the Bakersfield Condors are holding a Charlie Sheen night next Saturday. Have you heard about that?
I haven't heard about that, but you know what? It doesn't surprise me.
They say bring a clean blood test and you can get in for free. I love
that. Well, that ought to pack them in, I think.
JP, thanks very much for being with us today.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's JP Hornstra from the Los Angeles Daily News. Interesting guy. Covers a lot of different leagues in the Southern California area. I forgot to ask him about the weather, but it probably would have just depressed me anyway. A couple of emails coming in. This is from Jesse. I'm listening today, and I was wondering if I can find podcasts of your first shows, and we have them. They're up. They are on OilersNation.com. Wanye finally woke up from his winter nap, and the first two editions are on there for sure. So the third show and this one I can't comment on, but the first two are actually up, and I want to thank Wanye because I know it was a lot of work, and he works like 3-hour days. So it doesn't get a lot done, but he's finally there. Also from Al Bolin. Al says, do you have a theory on why the Oilers players the past two or so years seem to be suffering an unusual amount of injuries, especially injuries to key players? Is it the way they play or lack of conditioning? Well, I know it's not lack of conditioning because the tests that they go through in training camp are, they boggle the mind. So I think it's just a matter of a lot of bad luck. And in all honesty, people like Sheldon Surrey, when they were signed, they had a little bit of a history of injury. Nikolai Habibulin had some problems. So when you're signing veteran free agents, especially once they're past 30, you're a little bit prone to that. The Taylor Hall injury was a fluke thing. I don't think anybody he's just a young guy. He got injured and it was one of those one-off things. Alex Hemsky also is getting a longer and longer list of injuries, and that might affect his trade value as we move forward. So I think it's a matter of signing some veterans earlier on before the rebuild started, and we're also seeing somebody like Alex Hemsky building on a rather large resume of injuries. This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio Team 1260. I'm Alan Mitchell. We've got a big, big show still to come. Jason Greger coming up at the top of the hour. And coming up next, we're going to be talking to Kent Simpson right after this.